Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
At Boar's Head, we've been going back to school for over 115 years. And this year, every school lunch is reason to celebrate with the flavors your kids love and the exceptional quality you expect. Helping you make school lunch fresh, easy, and delicious. Ring the bell. The deli is open. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
He hit our son.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 96. That's right, 96. Episode 100 coming up, and guess what?
Wait, is this 95 or 96 because of the lost tapes?
Yeah, 96.
Okay.
94 is lost, very much lost. Shout out to YouTube. Absolutely no help whatsoever. I mean, just ghosted me. Stop replying. And episode 100, Reddit suggested this today, so I'm going to listen to them, is going to be our Hall of Fame inductions. Coley's going to be on for the Grinch. We're going to induct our first wave into the Hall of Fame. You can go on our Reddit. By the way, that was PFD. He's on the show.
What's up?
We didn't announce that. We went on our Reddit. The categories are going to be actor/actress, so a real-life person, character/object, so it can be from Bustopher Jones to Tom Cruise's fake ass. Podcast moment, podcast skit, because I feel like those should be separated. Movie, so one we've reviewed. Song, and then we'll do guest. We'll induct guest into the Hall of Fame. Anyway, Trey Ballins, Ken Jack as well here, obviously. What's going on, guys?
We're sleepy, I think.
Really?
Why are you sleepy?
Well, I'm getting less sleepy now because I'm chugging a Red Bull.
Because it's almost daylight savings time.
It is. We're getting close to that time of the year.
Yeah. Trouble sun went down time. Early today.
It did. It was
sun
very
was
quick.
Giving that top. Yeah, I picture the sun as like being the one from the Raisin Brand cereal box with the sunglasses on.
Sunny? No, we looked up its name when we did a cereal episode.
Is it Sunny? That's great trivia. Oh.
Yeah, it is. Sunny, very creative name.
Yeah. Also, happy Halloween. Though you're not going to be listening to this on Halloween, more than likely. There are some people who listen to the podcast right when it comes out.
It's wild to me.
So a few people are going to get the happy Halloween.
Let me be the first to wish you a happy Halloween.
Trill, how's I know you're gonna have to deal with trick or treaters. Do you like giving out candy?
No, I don't like it very much. I think I don't know if having a kid's gonna change my perception of that. We'll be on the other side of it, but yeah. It's quite annoying. So you know, you kind of deal with it. It's just one night per year, and we'll recover from this night. We'll move on to November 1st.
Did you guys all have dentists in your neighborhood that would hand out toothbrushes?
No, thank God. We did see the worst ever Halloween gift ever possibly conceived earlier today.
So we did. Where is it?
Skip Bayless cookies?
No, it's much worse.
Oh, the Mark Sanford.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Representative Mark Sanford.
He's South Carolina.
South Carolina. He handed out pocket constitutions.
Ooh. I'm surprised someone's not handing out Chick Tracks. Do you guys remember those?
Yes.
I don't.
Hold What's on, that?
Google.
Just Google Chick Tracks. They're religious comics, like very, very.
Oh my God!
Evangelical type things. I won't go into it more than that.
God, but
that
would, pocket that, constitution. Yeah. That's amazing.
Here's one. Here's one. It's a.
You know, I keep this thing on me.
it's Stewie and Peter on the TV from Family Guy, and it says, "I just love little Stewie," and it's a little boy saying. He's gay. And then the dad said, so's our pastor. There's nothing wrong with that, son.
50 years ago, that would be unthinkable.
Yeah. You go to Mark Sanford's house, and he's like, and what are you supposed to be? You're legally allowed to say, sir, am I being detained?
Exactly.
So I think this got cut out of last episode. I didn't listen to it. Did we talk about my PC on the last episode?
Yes. There's a couple things that I said got cut out, and they did not get cut out. But that one definitely got cut out. You did buy a PC.
So this is my first episode podcasting from the PC. I'm a PC guy now. I'm back to that fold. I don't get you Mac users.
Big square.
You're in your, how do I put it, Fisher-Price-like operating system. Meanwhile, I'm over here coding, doing shit.
What are your specs on your PC?
They're not great. It's like an Intel Core i5, 16 gigabytes of RAM. And then came with a solid or a hard disk drive that was 1 terabyte, and I replaced it with a solid state. Not to brag.
Damn.
I
know, dude.
You got NAS in there?
It's so cool. Yeah, I got a button. I press it, and then it just Vin Diesel. I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Trill and I had a lot of fun watching the Apple announcement yesterday, and making fun of. Which I mean, I have all Apple products. So I guess I'm a sheep, but the sheep who do standing ovations at those Apple events, and it'll be like the most mundane, irrelevant shit. It'll be like, and now the iPad can charge the pencil, and they fucking, it's a riot. People are like, yes!
Fuck yeah!
Fucking, it's insane.
Aren't they all press, too? Aren't they all like journalists and bloggers for the most part?
Yes.
That seems a little unethical.
Absolutely.
It's just insane. It's one of my favorite things. People tweeted at me like, why do you cover this? I'm like, this is my favorite thing. I love it.
One of my favorite, I like the Onion article when Tim Cook took over, and he was like, Tim Cook, I'm thinking printers. I think we just invest real heavily in printers. And like the next year at the Apple convention, they were talking all about 3D printers.
Oh my God. It's almost too perfect.
It's like more obvious that nobody at Apple has ever played video games before. Whenever they show like any sort of gaming demonstration, they're like, the iPad Pro rivals consoles. And this is what they seriously said. It's like, Assassin's Creed has been on consoles, and the latest Assassin's Creed just came out. Well, we got Assassin's Creed 2, and it's one of those bullshit side-scrolling, like, pay-to-win room games where you just staff up a base full of people. It's not even the same thing.
You can play Angry Birds in 4K now. It's pretty crazy, guys.
They were doing an awful demo of NBA 2K yesterday. It was
so bad.
It was so hard. I'm trying to find some of your fake quotes. You had a couple funny ones of what Tim Cook would say. But I'm really liking our inside joke that Apple invented wireless charging, because that's basically how they act now.
Invented everything. Well, you don't have to invent it. You just have to give it a cool name, like the Retina display. Just that is a lot of pixels in a screen.
It does sound very cool when you say it like that.
Do you remember when they had iDVD? It's like literally every product had an I in front of it. I'm glad they got away from that.
Remember HD DVD when Blu-ray came out? That shit. Who was it? I think Robbie. Yeah, Robbie
Toshiba
said. Yeah, Robbie Samsung said his brother and him, when that came out, or he and his brother, they went and they bought like 30 or 40 HD DVDs because they played on their Xbox, and now it's just ancient.
Useless. Yeah.
We were talking about LaserDisc.
Sony.
On part of my take, I think it was like Monday's show or maybe Wednesday's show. But yeah, we're talking about LaserDiscs and how you used to have to like, they were the size of records, and they were supposed to replace VHSs, and people didn't think, well, maybe you should just shrink them down a lot. And you had to actually turn them over to play the second part of a movie.
It was like the ultimate useless rich person flex was the LaserDisc. They come into my entertainment system. I'd like to see a primo entertainment system in like 1998 or whatever, what it would look like today. Like the TV has like an 8-foot depth on it.
Yeah, yeah, minimum.
If you sit 1 foot to the side angle of it, you just can't see shit. It's just all black. And let me go on a rant here. I don't mean to go on a rant here, guys. Dennis Miller voice. But projection screens, like 90% of the time, if you're watching a fight or you're watching a movie at a friend's house who has a projection that goes onto a white wall, it looks like absolute dog shit. Can we all agree on that?
Not a fan.
Oh, yeah.
Not a fan.
They're like, I spent $10,000 on this sick projector. Come over and we'll watch the heavyweight fight. It's like, no, I'd rather watch it on R. Kelly's 13-inch TV.
Just give me the TV.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Don't like him, man. I'm with you.
By the way, I'm going to insert a clip right here. Very random that you brought up Dennis Miller, but I, for some reason, watched intros to Monday Night Football from the Dennis Miller era.
Oh, man.
And a couple
that one
of
year
references are so fucking insane.
So, Dennis, new season, new stadium. replacement officials, though. I thought they did a pretty good job yesterday.
Pretty good job yesterday, but I was so nostalgic for the regular referees today, I logged on the Napster, downloaded a couple of Bernie Kukar's greatest illegal formation calls. The guy's a timeless artist. Obviously, he will be missed. Whoever's reffing tonight should keep their eye on the offensive left tackle position for the Broncos. The blindside tackle's going to have to shoulder a lot of responsibility this year because Brian Greasy had his shoulder cut on in the offseason. Training camp, it came down to two combatants, the youngster Trey Tigg and the grizzled old veteran Danny Almonte. Tigg won out. Almonte moved on. Said something about trying out baseball for a living. Who knows where he shook out. We wish him well. Al, time to rip the sanitize for your protection strip off this puppy. The hills are alive with the sound of NFL football.
You're like, wow, I know why this didn't work out.
The king of esoteric references, Dennis Miller.
My favorite, I still remember to this day, and it's not one that I've even looked up on YouTube or fact-checked. I still remember it from like my eighth grade year when he goes, tell you what, this matchup's got murkier bloodlines than the House of Plantagenet.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And I was in eighth grade, and I was like, this guy needs to get the fuck off my television.
Even if you made like a Habsburg reference to an NFL crowd, you'd be like way out of league doing that.
Oh, my God. Dennis Miller, Monday Night Football. All right, movie news. Avatar, it's back in the news. Sigourney, two things about Avatar. One is literally the first piece of content from Avatar 2.
What is it?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But Sigourney Weaver has already stated that she's already working on Avatar 4 and 5. How? What are you? I mean, where are the other movies?
She's playing with Legos, Avatar Legos, just trying to.
Are they shooting them all at the same time? And they're just going to be releasing them one at a time?
So, let me get the dates. It's very hard to get to figure out the dates because they change so much that you don't know if you're reading the right one. So, Avatar 2 will release 2020. 2021 for Avatar 3, Avatar 4, 2024.
And then, push that one back, dude.
These are like college football matchups. It's like Texas is going to be playing against the University of Alabama in 2026. So get your flights, get all that stuff sorted out right now.
It's like the kids that will be at that game are 8.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know.
I'm going to have to get a babysitter even though I haven't had sex yet. I just know that I will by that time.
So here's the first piece of content. The Avatar logo is well known for having the papyrus font. There was a skit on SNL featuring our man, the Goss God, Ryan Gosling, and he's like, and I think the joke is like, it's like they just went to Word and hit the drop down and found the most generic font possible. They changed the logo. It still looks a little papyrus-y, but it's a thicker logo. It's a little easier to read, and it's less generic, but like, that is, I mean, literally the first piece of Avatar 2 content we've seen after almost 10 years is they changed the logo. So that's
I don't
it.
Like it.
You don't,
I don't
like it?
I,
you don't like thick papyrus?
Well, after 8 years of 8-9 years of sticking to that papyrus, you can't change it now.
Well, what font would you rather?
You want papyrus? Like, if you're gonna do papyrus, you gotta stick with papyrus. That's why when Dan Gilbert released his second nicer letter,
that wasn't in Comic Sans,
and he didn't do Comic Sans. I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. You got to do Comic Sans. You got to keep it on papyrus. If you're gonna do a shitty font, commit to it.
What about like Helvetica? That's hot in the streets.
Helvetica's
a nice font.
Yeah, that's out. That's hot in the streets right now.
I'm big into Helvetica New.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone loves Helvetica New. Come on.
Trill and Kenjack and Jeff and PFT and Lights Camera Pod. Put it on a t-shirt. That's a Helvetica font.
Yeah. The roll call one.
Well, there's no t-shirts like that in the store, right? I'm not making fun of a product.
Oh, yeah. We have at least 7.
10 or 20.
Yeah, there are quite a few of those. I think I had two of them personally that I put out at one point.
We should do one, and then it just keep listing like Ryan Gosling. You're like, they're on your pod? Yes. Yeah.
It was just every Redskins quarterback since Dan Snyder took over. And it was funny because at the end it was like, and Griffin and Cousins and Griffin and Cousins and Griffin and Cousins and McCoy and Griffin and Cousins. But now he's gone. But I think, wouldn't it make sense if Avatar just had an avatar instead of written out Avatar?
Oh, just
I guess that'd make more sense. Yeah,
like Prince just has a symbol.
Yeah, that would be. That'd be cool. I would respect that.
Because
right now I don't respect these movies whatsoever.
Nope.
You guys ever just sit down to do something, like write something? I'm sure you have. Everyone's done this. I feel like James Cameron's just going to give up. He's just going to sit down to his new MacBook Air with the Retina display one of these days and be like, time to get to work on the Avatar 2 script. And he checks his checks his, like, what bank would he even use? Wells Fargo account. And it's like, you know, $500 million. No, I'm actually pretty good. Yeah. I don't really need to do this.
Was there ever a more public cucking than his ex-wife winning best picture over him?
Yes,
at the Oscars.
And in the crowd, he had this very enthusiastic. He was more excited than her because he knew the camera was going to be on him.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's like when Justin Guarini was so excited when Kelly Clarkson won American Idol. It's just very. Very upsetting to watch. It's a deep cut reference. That's a Dennis Miller, Dennis Triller right here.
The only show where the contestants losing don't get excited for the winner, I think, is Chopped. They always look very bummed out. Yeah. They're like, sometimes if I forget their name, I don't know who won because neither of them really celebrates that hard. And yeah, so Chopped is one of the
it's
ones.
Because the other two contestants always have like some serious issue going on at home that they've talked about.
Oh, you can't.
Like, I'm trying to win this so that I can get my kid brother out of a wheelchair.
You
and
can't.
So if you win,
on,
you're like, you feel bad because you just committed somebody else's family to a lifetime of disability.
If you could have the best invention in the world or be the best chef, amateur chef, you got no shot getting on Chopped or Shark Tank if you don't have a sob story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
No chance whatsoever. So that's Avatar news. We slandered Avatar and hated on it so much. We got nothing else. I just Trill saying no to all the release dates is about as much we have left in the tank at this point.
Don't get me wrong. When Avatar is a week away from releasing, I'm going to pre-order those tickets. I'm going to be super excited for it. I'm going to be on this podcast talking about. I'm going to be like 52 years old on this podcast talking about how excited I was and how I always believed in Robot Cameron and. You know, whatnot.
You're going to be dressed up at the theater like DeAndre Hopkins was for Halloween this year.
Avatar is just one of those cultural things, kind of like Pokemon Go was 2 years ago, where everybody, like, as a society, looks back and they're like, why were we really into that?
Yeah.
That shit was on the news, Pokemon Go.
That was super weird.
Pokemon Go to the polls.
Go to the polls.
Love
what
it.
A great moment.
That love it. Yeah.
In American
Pokemon
history.
Pokemon Go to the polls.
Shit, that got cut from the episode, I think. We made a Pokemon Go to the polls reference.
Did we?
Yeah. PFT might have the lost episode.
Ooh.
He might have.
I will sell it for the right price.
Actually, you definitely don't have it because I texted you at like 6 p.m. going, fuck, man, we lost our recording.
It was actually the best show you guys have ever done. Just go with that narrative. Like, it was perfect gold.
40 minutes of SNL talk.
Yeah.
Ended up being good, though. We had a good time talking about it. Moving on. Birds of Prey, the DC movie. I believe it's mostly an all-female cast. Going to be rated R. So does that make you more excited for Birds of Prey? DC doing a little a little shift around here?
Yes. Folks, Birds of Prey is actually what they call nuns in England. Just saying.
Margot Robbie, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Journey Smollett-Bell, is that how you say that? Rosie Perez, they're in it. So lots of lots of cool stuff that I'm sure comic fans are excited for. Kathy Yan is directing it, female director. So you know that'll be big, obviously, for DC. Obviously, they have a female director as well, Patty Jenkins for Wonder Woman. So cool. Rated R though. That's pretty neat. I'm into it. That gets me excited for that a little bit.
Maybe they baby bird each other at some point. That's like how they eat. They just spit their food into each other's mouths.
I mean, that's how they get. That's why it's rated.
That's
R.
That's why it's rated R. Like, that puts asses in seats.
MRPA or whatever. Like, no, that's got to be rated R. That's disgusting.
Well, it's not sexual per se, but it feels like it should be sexual. So yeah, R.
Was Suicide Squad not rated R?
No.
I feel like just the name alone would make it rated R.
I don't think it
did. It didn't really have any like
it was
R-rated
too twisted for PG
content. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of sexual charged moments, I would say.
Let's see. No, it was PG-13.
Wow.
Yeah. I kind of like the strategy for DC. Are they just, they're just like, well, you know, Deadpool did good. It was a lower budget comic book movie. They have a niche. Maybe we can find that niche for us and maybe have a good movie here.
Yeah, that could be it, because Marvel's never going to do that. I don't see any scenario in the next like 20 years where they get that low.
Why do people like Harley Quinn so much, though?
That's a question I've asked myself a lot of times, and I don't get
it. Is it an extremely horny thing?
Yeah, I think it's a horny
yes,
thing.
Yes, but I also think it's one of those things that wasn't in movies, and like it's a popular character enough where it's not been in movies for so long, Drill, and I think that, I don't know, like what else? Like what are some other, what would be an example? Deadpool was one of them, which ended up being good, but people were like, come on, give me Deadpool. Maybe that's with Gambit. Like Gambit was so bad, in that one. That's why people want it so bad. I guess that might be it for Harley Quinn. And they finally got it, and she wasn't bad, but her problem was she was paired up with the Joker, who fucking stunk.
Yeah, that was not a good Joker.
I just, I don't know. She's a beloved character who's introduced in the animated series, right? And
yeah, sure.
People want her. I just don't find her character particularly interesting because it's just their relationship's too creepy, and not creepy in like an interesting way. Like creepy as in like she was literally his doctor and he twisted her mind. And yeah. that's her character.
Like Stockholm Syndrome, essentially. Well, not really.
I'm sure somebody's going to be like, well, actually, if you check Action Comics number 10,050, you'll find that she has a complex. No, it's like major media. Like she all. I don't know.
Even like,
so, maybe they get her portrayal right. Maybe you can take her away from the Joker. She could be interesting.
Well, yeah. I just
never liked that.
At some point, they'll write in a plot twist where she like breaks free of his mind.
Right? Oh yeah,
for
sure.
Yeah,
and she'll become like a very empowered female character.
Probably.
But I say this. That the Batman's basically Harley Quinn because he's mentally manipulated by the Joker too.
Good point. Yeah.
So like maybe we just need to think about that.
She didn't even have any interesting powers really in Suicide Squad. She just had a bat and a gun. Like at least Deadshot could like shoot people really quick.
Extremely twisted, dude.
Even Joker didn't have any powers.
Did you
he was just
see
twisted.
The movie? He was just so twisted.
A twisted individual. Rick Flagg had the same amount of powers as both the Joker and Harley Quinn.
Joel Kinnaman.
Love Joel Kinnaman.
Next up.
I like the fact that her name was Harleen Quinzel. And
why'd they have to do that?
That's her real name. And she just happened to get paired up with this guy who thinks he's a Joker. And everything just fit into place really well.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Next up, I want nothing more from the Academy this year at the Oscars to raise this character's big pink dress into the rafters. Madea is being retired by Tyler Perry. I think a retirement ceremony as like a joke at the Oscars would be fucking hilarious. I would love that. And they're retiring, or he's retiring Madea, who's been in a ton of movies. Let me pull up the sheet. But Ken Jack, obviously a very famous moment is we had you go see Boo 2 of Madea Halloween.
I just don't even think about it anymore.
It was creepy and pervy. And we cut the review down because you were so frustrated with it. And I mean, that's really it. Madea is retiring.
Can I just call something right now? The only reason for retiring a character is so that you can bring it back and make more money on the comeback.
That's super.
Why else
true.
Would you retire? You just wouldn't do any more Madea movies.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yes, they're doing. Yes, I'm very woke on. Say what you want about Tyler Perry, the man is a genius when it comes to marketing.
Oh, for
that's
sure.
True, yeah,
Dwight, I mean, he's one of the most like highest paid or most well worth people in Hollywood.
Yeah, it's like Kiss has had 90 retirement tours.
Yeah. Well, they knew one, too.
Yeah, they're doing another one. This is the last one for real, though, guys. Mike Florio tweeted about that the other day. He's like, oh, my God, Kiss is going on their last tour ever. I can't wait to buy tickets. He's such a sucker.
You sheep.
Yeah.
Kiss is one of those bands that I think you had to be, like, born in the, like, right two-year period to, to like, fully get Kiss.
Yep.
You had to be 13 in like 1975.
I think my maximum exposure to it was literally in Role Models, and that was the most Kiss songs I ever heard
it's
in
a
like a 5-minute period.
It's a
and,
lot of Kiss.
Why him too? Why him? I mean, obviously a more iconic Kiss scene in Role Models,
right.
But
way better Kiss right, scene in Role Models. Right, just saying.
Because in Why Him, they only got two members of Kiss.
That's true. They had Gene Simmons, I think, in Role Models, right?
Yeah, it was definitely Gene Simmons. I don't know if the other one was
any of them were in there
really or Paul Stanley. Oh, and Role Models? No, they didn't have a Kiss member in Role Models. They just dressed up like
you know what I'm thinking of when they did "I Love You, Man." They did like a big promo with Rush, and they had like them meet all the people in the band for like a Jimmy Fallon skit or some bullshit.
Kiss is like the official band of smoking weed with your uncle.
Yeah, absolutely. The uncle that wants to be seen as cool. For his nephew, yeah. This blew my mind.
Oh, my God.
Detroit Rock City. Just smoking but then he smokes...
You know him from the...
He smokes swag that's like... He used to smoke swag, but he smokes weed that's like way too powerful for him, so he gets too high and gets in trouble with his brother because he got high with his son. It's like, why did you expose my child to this?
You know, a lot of people like Kiss for their hard rock songs, but have you ever listened to Beth? That shit will blow your mind.
I do like Ace Frehley's Back in the New York Groove. Is that what it is?
The song Back in...
I think that's what it's called.
I like that song.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good song.
Yeah.
Yep. I like Love Take Me Down to the Streets. That's still my
go-to. Good song. Madea was in Diary of a Mad Black Woman, Madea's Family Reunion, Meet the Browns, cameo, Madea Goes to Jail, I Can Do Bad All by Myself, Madea's Big Happy Family, Madea's Witness Protection, A Madea Christmas, Boo, A Madea Halloween, Boo 2, A Madea Halloween, and finally A Madea Family Funeral, where I imagine she might die.
That's like, the one that's coming out?
Yeah, that seems like a move for Tyler Perry.
He's saying he's killing her off because he doesn't want to play her as he ages.
I believe that.
Who replaces her?
I don't know.
How old is Madea?
She's pretty old in the movies, like 60s.
Yeah, so why wouldn't he
just have her die in natural causes?
It seems like he would get better at playing her.
Yeah, if anything.
As he got older.
I think he's... No, go ahead, Drew.
I think he's going to turn this into a zombie movie.
Boo 3. There you go.
Boo 3, and she comes back and gets vengeance.
I actually think he's a very good actor. He was really good in Gone Girl.
Yeah, and he's going to be good in Vice.
Yes, he's Colin Powell in Vice. Mm-hmm. And I think I would actually imagine he wouldn't say this, and I don't think any actor would. I think, besides the fact, I think, Trill, what you said is probably true. Like I'm sure he doesn't want to look as old as Madea, playing Madea, but he... I bet he wants to try to either win an Oscar or start taking seriously. He was outstanding in Gone Girl. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite parts, and I imagine he'll be very good as Colin Powell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fuck. Tyler Perry for supporting actor. That'd be awesome. Would love that. Because I'm assuming Colin Powell is going to be very much in that movie. We haven't seen him yet either.
I like everything about that trailer.
I'm so excited for that movie. All right, next up. This is a weird one. So it's very well known, even though not official, that Jake Gyllenhaal is playing Mysterio, the villain in Spider-Man Far From Home. However, there's been no pictures of him with his like fishbowl dome on his head, but a Dr. Pepper can spoiled it. A can of Dr. Pepper, like a promotion that people have seen, is like, ooh, major character to be revealed. But like, it's clearly an outline of somebody with a fishbowl on their head, like a fishbowl helmet. And so they've basically just spoiled that. Like... Dr. Pepper, what's his name? Larry Culpepper?
Larry Culpepper, that son of a bitch, the vendor.
Revell was Larry Culpepper for Halloween one year.
That doesn't surprise me. That is the least surprising news of all time. Revell is the kind of guy that would see Larry Culpepper had a Twitter account and be like, oh my God, Dr. Pepper with a genius marketing move giving Larry Culpepper his own tweets.
He was a CVS receipt this year for Halloween.
Yeah, I saw that. I actually zoomed in to try to see what he was buying. And I couldn't tell. I was really bummed out about that because I was really looking forward to making a joke.
Let's ask
about
him. He has never replied to one text of mine during the pod. Let's see if he'll finally reply. Okay. Go ahead, Trill.
The biggest thing about this Screen Rant article for me isn't the reveal of the helmet. It's there's a picture of a limited edition Dr. Pepper dark berry flavor.
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
That kind of sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
I like Dr. Pepper. I'm a Dr. Pepper
like
guy.
Like a raspberry or something? I actually didn't notice
that. Well, I meant blackberry or blueberries. Okay. Maybe like more of a tart Dr. Pepper. I think most berries are tart.
He gets a black suit in this. Maybe it is blackberry. That'd be kind of cool if it lined up with that.
Okay, quick question. Why is blue raspberry the default coloring of raspberry flavor stuff? Is it to differentiate itself from its cherry and strawberry counterparts?
Good question, because I don't think that there's such a thing as a blue raspberry in nature.
I don't know. I don't know why it's become so ubiquitous. The raspberry is always blue raspberry. I'm pretty sure you can't have three shades of pink in the Airheads container or whatever.
Yep. I think you're right on the money.
Look at this. Wikipedia page. Fucking Trill. Genius. The blue color also helps distinguish raspberry-flavored foods from cherry and strawberry-flavored foods, the former usually being colored red. Okay, yeah. Anyway, that's a great call.
Why don't you demote strawberry flavor to blue strawberry and then bring raspberry up to red?
Yeah, I feel like strawberry tastes green, if that makes sense. Green apple dominates the green color over the color spectrum, and it's always like super sour, but strawberries to me, they should be green.
Yeah, I agree.
Why not?
Yeah. If I have one problem with what God did to this earth, it's that he didn't make strawberries green. That was a big fuck up on your part, God.
Which actually now when strawberries are green, when you see a green strawberry, like what? You're like, it's a shit strawberry.
Yeah. You've been brainwashed too by Big God.
Yep. Big Jesus and Big God.
those capitalists over at Driscoll Strawberry Farm.
Fucking, by the way, I don't eat any strawberry except for Driscoll. Why do Driscoll look so much better than every other strawberry? Mm-hmm.
I don't know another strawberry brand, dude.
Are you guys Dole or Chiquita banana guys?
I'm allergic to bananas now.
What?
I'm actually allergic to every bit of banana flavoring. Anything banana flavored, I'm allergic to. I throw up within about 15 minutes.
Oh.
Now, is that the flavoring or is that the fruit, too? Because the flavoring doesn't taste anything like a banana.
Yeah, that's true. It's everything. I can't. I started having, like, I would put banana in my protein shake and I would have no issue. And then slowly but surely, I developed it. And I keel over onto the ground. I can't move.
That's how straight Jeff is. He can't even eat a banana without throwing up.
Fellas, y'all look at bananas when you go to the supermarket?
Couldn't be me.
You let your girl pick bananas out?
I'm trying to find other strawberry brands.
I've also noticed that when things give people diarrhea, they've started to say they're allergic to it. And I feel like it's an important differentiation between something you're actually allergic to versus what gives you diarrhea.
Yep.
Because you just need, if something gives you diarrhea, you need to come out and be honest with me.
We had our A24 interview with Mid-90s last episode, obviously, if you listened. And it was bookend by diarrhea talk in the initial cut, because Troll talked about super diarrhea. And then we had another end with diarrhea, and that came after the Lunchables pod, and now we're talking about it again. So on a real, we always hit streaks with things, and I guess it's just
that, that reminds me of that Business Insider article that was like, cinephiles rejoice, Lights Camera Barstool is here. And so yes, us bookending fucking interviews with diarrhea talk and making sure we did a Lunchable.
Ooh, that was a classic app.
Yeah, that was last bit of news here. And you said God, PFT.
I did.
Great. God friended segue. Me.
Yeah, God friended me. We reviewed it now. Not yet. He did unfriend. God unfriended the kid, apparently, in the episode.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up by God.
God's so petty.
Tim
he's
Tebow.
He's
a fake
him.
Friend.
He's negging him.
Tebes. Tim Tebow. His first movie. And not in the movie. Made the movie. It's like a small studio. I don't quite understand the movie at all. It has a spoiler ending because you see the kid on the field in the swamp at Florida. I don't know why they showed that at the end, but it's a kid who like tears his ACL or something, and one of the lamest ACL tears I've ever seen in my life. It's like an on-field fight, yeah. And he tears it as if somebody slashed his legs in half. It's so bizarre. It's a weird trailer.
The movie's basically like, what if Rudy was dumber and he only got into Florida? Yeah.
There was one of those years, not only did they spoil it, they also went pretty much act for act as to what's going to happen in the movie. The only thing we didn't find out is how he like actually gets to Florida. Like, I know he rehabs and comes back, but it's like that was the movie. That was a Cliff Notes version of the movie. I feel like I've already seen it.
The way the kid falls when he tears his leg or blows his knee out reminds me of the slap. It's so overly dramatic, and it's like right in the middle. It's weird.
Also, when the kid came out in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, I hope I got that right.
He did.
He looked like a toddler wearing a football outfit for Halloween. Like, no offense to him, like, because I would look the same way. If you're a normal sized person, you wear football pads, you're going to look ridiculous. But it just was kind of funny because he is obviously not of the football player stature. I mean, the passes swatted down the line of scrimmage.
Good for Tebow getting his brother involved in the game, too. Like, spreading the wealth around a little bit.
Yeah.
And he only made his brother's name slightly smaller font, but he could have gone a lot smaller. So I kind of respect him for that.
Oh, you're right. It is definitely small.
Oh, it's noticeably smaller, but he could have gone smaller. Like, respect to Tim for doing that for Robbie. To me, this movie just looks like what Tim Tebow kind of secretly wished his life story was. Like, had a little bit more edge.
Yeah.
Got into some fights, played some beer pong, had some sex.
Yeah.
I think this is like him looking back on what his rebellious youth period could have been.
Yeah.
What if the kid got injured via sex and had to rehab back from that?
That's the storyline. That's so like funny. That.
And how much do you think like Reese Davis will make a cameo or something like that? Do you think there'll be any cameos in this? Is this too low budget?
They didn't even get licensing for Florida, did they?
Jim Nantz. Yeah,
they did.
They did.
Oh, I didn't see the full thing.
Oh, super licensed. Like, I mean, he's like Tim
so that's
Tebow.
The only thing he spent money on.
They fucking love Tebow there. So, I mean, they were just yeah, whatever.
I think Nantz picked up the phone from Tebow and was like, I'll do it. Whatever you're asking, I'll do anything for you. Wasn't he the one that said during the national championship game, like, Tim Tebow is the kind of guy that if you had a daughter, you would hope she would date? I think that was an asset.
So he wouldn't fuck her.
No, he wouldn't fuck.
What if the start of the movie is the aged protagonist sitting in his doctor's office? Like he became a successful like surgeon from his experience, and he like looks up on the wall and it's just Jim Nance's tie frame there. And someone's like, "How'd you get that tie?" He's like, "Well, let me tell you the story."
Oh, the tie.
Better football cry, Derek Carr or Tim Tebow?
Tebow.
Oh, Tim Tebow's got a great cry, dude. Because when he cries, I'm like, I get why you're crying.
Yeah, his cry on the sidelines against Alabama was incredible.
That was a great cry.
Well, it wouldn't be incredible if he didn't come back and just win the national championship after getting up. Like, for as much shit as people give Tebow, like his post-game speech was pretty cool because that was like literally movie-type stuff. Mm-hmm. But whatever. I'm a big softie when it comes to Tebow because, you know, as a former high school Florida quarterback, All-American, and have... Having played at a major SEC university, I kind of know what he goes through.
Sure. You guys have to review this. Pardon my take, without question.
I'll definitely see that.
Yeah, big time. All right, we have our first ad read. We only have one ad read today, and we're replacing the ad read with the second annual Jay Leno challenge. Second annual, you heard that right. Second annual Jay Leno challenge is going to be Ken Jack versus Trill. Seven headlines from Screen Rant. PFT will be the judge. So we'll do that a little later. We have reviews, spoiler reviews of Hunter Killer and Goosebumps 2. And then our other segment today is going to be top five character names that sound like they're football players. I haven't figured out the best way to put that yet, but it's top five characters whose names sound like football players. It's going to be a fun one. But first up, ad read for Ridge Wallet.
Ridge Wallet, yeah. So let's just roll straight into it.
Get your wallet out. Okay, goodness lesson number one. You see someone drop their wallet. Patrick, drop the wallet. Now, what would you do?
Excuse me, sir, but I do believe you've dropped your wallet.
It doesn't look familiar to me.
What? I just saw you drop it. Here.
Nope, it's not mine.
It is yours. I am trying to be a good person and return it to you.
Return what to who?
Aren't you... Patrick Starr?
Yep.
And this is your ID?
Yep.
I found this ID in this wallet. And if that's the case, this must be your wallet.
That makes sense to me.
Then take it.
It's not my wallet.
Hold on there, Patrick. You know what would make it easier to know which wallet is yours? A Ridge wallet. The Ridge is a minimalist front pocket wallet that helps you reevaluate your everyday carry. The RFID blocking wallet is made by two metal plates, either titanium, carbon fiber, or aluminum, bound together by a durable elastic band. Get 10% off today with free worldwide shipping. That's right, folks. Free worldwide shipping by going to ridgewallet.com/LCB. That's RIDGEWALLT.com/LCB. LCB. And use the code LCB, spell it out, LCB, ridgewallet.com/LCB, link in description.
All right, we're back. Two reviews. Spoiler alert. I think you know how these movies are going to go. So just listen. Just keep listening.
The Americans lose.
This is us. This is us giving you a chance to skip ahead. Look at the time code below. Also, please rate the pod 5 stars. Leave a review. You guys actually did last episode. It was fucking great. Helped us out a lot. Bump this up there. Here we go. Hunter Killer. I'm doing a new thing this week. I'm going to read the synopsis. I've been asked to do that for 60 episodes. I always try to find them while I read it. I actually have them here. Google, great, great website. American submarine captain Joe Glass is on the hunt for a U.S. sub in distress in the Arctic Ocean. He soon learns that a secret Russian cop is in the offing, a conspiracy that threatens to dismantle
secret
the world.
Secret Russian cop.
Yeah. Coup. Oh, yeah, okay. This is why I don't do these. That threatens to dismantle the world order. With crew and country on the line, Glass must assemble an elite group of Navy SEALs to sneak through enemy waters, rescue the kidnapped Russian president, and prevent World War III. Hunter Killer out in theaters. Gerard Butler's in it. Linda Cardellini's in it. Gary Oldman's in it for...
two scenes.
Very few minutes. The movie is 2 hours and 1 minute long. Couldn't just get it to 2 hours. Couldn't get one minute. And this movie, I don't know what Gerard Butler did. I don't know if Gerard Butler promotes his own movies because he put 95% of the budget into the Storm movie. What was the Storm movie?
Geostorm.
Geostorm. And then he put whatever left he had, like $100 into this one, because I never saw this trailer in theaters. I might have seen it once, and I just can't remember, but this movie wasn't promoted whatsoever. No.
Only on the internet. That's the only place I saw, like, Twitter every now and then, like, an Instagram ads. That's it. Nothing on main screen.
I actually rated this the same as Den of Thieves, another Gerard Butler movie. I rated it 67 out of 100. I don't hate it. It was a fun time. It was engaging. It's not, like, as a movie as a whole, it's not very good. I have to keep my rating system, as I always do. Like, I'm not going to bump it up because it's, you know, just a blast and I had a fun time watching it. But it was very serviceable, and I didn't hate it. Like, I recommend seeing this, even though it's definitely not a good movie. Mm. It's not terrible, though. We'll get into it more in a second. Ken Jack, what'd you think?
I gave it a 75 out of 100. Oh. I thought it was a very good, like, old-school action movie where there's nothing except the action. They didn't try and do a by-plot. They didn't try and make it seem bigger than it was. It was just pure nonstop action, and I appreciated that a ton. And I think it's one of those movies where, in this age with action movies, they sometimes go overboard, and this very much knew what it was, and I love that. I thought it was a ton of fun. Gerard Butler, maybe my favorite American role of his ever.
There's so many Americans who aren't Americans.
There is every single American in that movie that isn't named Linda Cardellini or Common is not an American, and that's it. But I thought he did a great job. All the acting jobs were serviceable. The Gary Oldman casting, they very clearly cut down his role in the movie a ton. And it was definitely filmed way before all that shit came out. So he got cut down a lot, which kind of was a little surprising. And then so did Common, I felt a little bit as well. Maybe because their scenes were tied up together, I don't know. Toby Stevens doing an Alabama accent or Georgia accent, whatever, was hilarious.
Yeah.
This is so hysterically bad. And they made a point to tell you, like, oh, yeah, that's the Sarge. He's from Greenbow, Alabama. And he's just like, hey, what's up, y'all? And that was the extent of his accent attempt. But, yeah, a ton of fun, and I would definitely recommend seeing it if you like mindless action movies.
Trill.
Probably around a 50. I didn't hate it. Yikes. I didn't like it. I didn't think it was that good. I know it's a mindless action movie, but it didn't do much for me. It was kind of boring in my mind. It's too long. 2 hours is too long for this. I want a nice 75-minute romp. You can get it from here to there.
Yeah.
That's all I really have to say. If you like action movies, you'll probably like this. I kind of want to give it like a ceremonial plus 10 points. So my score is like a 50 plus 10. And that's because the title Hunter Killer is pretty fucking badass.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that's a good title. That's how you do it. So not that horrible. There's not much to say about it. I do want to dive into the fact that,
nice.
But yeah,
that's good.
I want to go down Periscope and, hey, and look at, so I was going through the Wikipedia cause I want to see how it did at the box office. Right. So they spent $40 million so far. It's made $11.3 million. Right. Not dollars, but $11.3 million. You know what released the same weekend?
What?
Johnny English Strikes Again. Rowan Atkinson's back. You know how much money that movie's made worldwide? $110 million.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Brits are just coming out to the box office for Mr. Bean. So
I mean, this movie's all British people, too.
Tough competition for Hunter Killer. I'm sorry. But yeah, this is the perfect TNT February Saturday afternoon special.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a dad movie. This is for sure a big dad movie.
I was going to say, I compare this, this is the devour foods of movie, and that they're not our sponsors episode.
Right.
But it's
movies you can fuck.
Yes, exactly. It's the food you can fork of movies. Like, it's such a dad movie.
Yeah, it's the devour of Hunt for Red October.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
Yes. PFT, what'd you think about it?
I'm going to give it a 71. There were a lot of problems that I had with it, but it was so fun and it was mindless. It was like, okay, this is going to blow up. Oh, they just got caught here. This is going to blow up. Oh, there's a coup. That's cool. Oh, it's in Russia. Bonus points. Oh, that's a nuclear missile. Sweet. I wish that they had raised the stakes, or they had shown the raised stakes a little bit, because they heavily implied that World War III was going to break out if the Russian president wasn't returned and all that stuff. But they never showed any steps being taken towards World War III except for like a bunch of ships sailing towards each other. Mm. I never got to see like nuclear missiles being positioned. Didn't have anybody like putting keys into the launch codes of the submarine. Ooh. I would have liked to see like how imminent we were to getting to World War III. I do give it bonus points because they when they had the tete-a-tete between Gerard Butler and the Russian sub-captain in the submarine, Gerard Butler said to him, "We're not so different, you and I."
Yeah.
And so I got to give a lot of points for that. That's just tremendous writing. And then he proceeded to, like, not really expand on that, but they became, like, best friends.
Mm-hmm.
I also liked at the very start where they had Butler hunting deer in the Scottish Highlands for some reason. I think that they added that in there so that Butler could just get, like, a quick vacation to the Scottish Highlands, because they didn't really say why he was there or what he was doing there or, like, how they found him. It was just, like, him bow hunting for a second.
They didn't even tell him they were filming. They just, like, snuck up on him while he was on vacation.
Yeah. I liked, the dialogue at the end. They were like, at the end of every single naval warfare movie, you have to have at least one scene where two of the main characters are standing on top of a submarine, shaking hands and saying, "Job well done, all in a day's work," that sort of thing. I feel like they had three of those scenes at the end of this one. They're like, "People like it? Well, guess what? Go out back and smoke the whole pack, smoke the whole carton of people shaking each other's hands on submarines." So it was, but that being said, it sounds like I'm ragging on it a lot, but there were a lot of cool scenes of, like launching torpedoes, getting torpedoes ready, cleaning out torpedo tubes, wrenching metal things into place on top of torpedoes, water pouring onto torpedoes. So it was, there was enough action to make it, you know, an enjoyable movie.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
the whole time when I was watching it, let me know if you think I'm crazy, but, I couldn't stop looking at Gerard Butler, and as he gets older, I'm thinking to myself, he looks like a more attractive Mark Cuban.
Yeah, very similar head shape. I could see that, especially when he has like his hair straight down or whatever. He has that same hairline in the Caesar haircut. I get that.
I don't know how to explain it. I was just looking at him like he could play Mark Cuban.
I think you're a little crazy. That was kind of a crazy take, Troll.
Shark Tank the movie.
I'm a crazy guy.
Yeah.
Who plays O'Leary in the Shark Tank movie?
No, but all I know is
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Kate McKinnon's Barbara Corcoran impression is unbelievable.
That's the only impression she should do. No more Hillary.
It is so fucking good. I'll have to show it to you after. It is like, it is spot on. I agree with PFT, though, a lot on this. I think it is over the top. Like, it's certainly ridiculous. But it is fun. I think that that's where like I want to land on it. I think it's like this is from the same people who made Olympus Has Fallen. I love this way more than Olympus Has Fallen. Mm-hmm. Way more. Ooh,
I'm a big Olympus Has
Fallen. Oh, that was so much worse than this. That was such an insane concept.
Are you a London Has Fallen guy too?
No, not that. I liked Olympus Has Fallen much better than White House Down.
Yeah, Tatum. I agree
with
that.
Those two went head-to-head, yeah. You know what? This would have made the movie probably 5 points better for me, is if they had shown at least one scene with an airplane in the air, like establishing a radar lock on something through the heads-up display.
Yeah.
Because they showed, like, airplanes getting ready. But if you have a movie that's about subs and just incorporate just like a sprinkling, just a little bit of frosting of an airplane flying and targeting something scene to take me out of the water into the sky— that does a lot for me personally.
Did you notice how with all the U.S. Navy scenes, they very clearly got the footage from them. Then the Russian ones, it was very clearly like found footage shit, like or not found footage, but like stuff they ripped off YouTube because the video quality dipped so far.
Yeah, they made the Russian sailors, I don't know if that's like standard military dress for them, but...
Oh, that undershirt thing?
Yeah, it looked like they were bad guys in a 1960s Batman TV show.
Yeah, for sure. It was like the prisoner garb or whatever, like the horizontal black and white stripes.
Yeah, they made them look like jerks. Which is great. I mean, for a good long time, I was like, we are so vastly superior to the Russians.
Would you have bumped this up or down if they had done Russian dialogue with subtitles? Because I feel like that would have it being, I think that might have made it look like it was taking itself too seriously. But at the same time, I think I might have liked it a little more. Because all of them clearly spoke Russian.
I think it would have been bad because the movie was not meant to be taken super seriously. But if they do add that in there, then you're like, it makes you... It's like watching a sports show that's done in a really nice studio. Mm-hmm. Any minor screw up, you're like, oh, they're fucking up right now. But if you watch like me and Big Cat in a toilet interviewing Mark Schlereth, and we stutter over a line, it's like, okay, that's fine. It goes along with what we're doing. So I like the fact that it was very clearly Russian people speaking English.
You know what I think? One of my favorite scenes from the movie was the first of all the Russian Secret Service guy who was invincible and got shot in the gut and thrown in like 20-degree weather like water and just survived miraculously. And then his exchange with Toby Stevens, like the lead Navy SEAL guy, where they basically just exchanged one-liners. mm-hmm. over and over again. Like, we're just two guys sitting out in the cold, wondering where to hold our dicks. And it's like stuff like it was a 10 one-liner conversation. And right when they'd finished that, I'm like, I love this movie.
That's how SEALs talk to each other, man. if you're an operator, you only speak in super cool cliches.
Was the one guy's name Martinelli that they just kept saying his name over and over and over again?
He was cool. He was tough as shit, man. He got shot and didn't say a word. He was rookie.
Yeah, he got shot.
New guy. Hey, new guy got shot. Yeah. We're just going to leave him here for a while.
To leave him in the trees.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, it was good. I don't know much more else we can say about this. Audience gave it a 63 out of 100.
Okay. Mm.
So very similar to us. It's a fun movie. It's not great. It's corny at times. I think the war scenes are like the military scenes are very well done. They're cool. But it's just a good time. I was just seeing it in theaters. It's fun to see on a big screen. It's like an old school action movie, like a 90s action movie.
The only problem I had with the title was I thought the title was so badass going into it. And then in like the first scene, they established that Hunter Killer was a type. It was a class of submarine.
Yeah.
And I thought it would have been cooler if it was just called Hunter Killer and had nothing to do with like any official nomenclature whatsoever.
Yep. Which Gerard Butler, my favorite with Geostormers when they're like, it's a Geostorm, and it happened for like 5 seconds.
If not even like, oh God, there are so many problems
soon.
In that movie.
We reviewed Geostorm in parts. We got to do that soon.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah,
that
we only watched 1/3 of each. That's Hunter Killer. 67 for me, 63 from the audience. Trill with a 50 plus 10 for the title. Kenjack 75 and PFT with a 71 on his score for Hunter Killer. All right, time for another review. Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween. Ooh, little background music.
This has too long of an intro.
There you go.
Oh, definitely, dude. Every song ever made, people, even Philip Glass's.
Oh, like the
people have boned to Einstein. Ooh, on the beach.
How many people do you think of
John Cage? 433 or whatever it is.
How about Promontory? You think that would be good or bad?
I don't know.
Trying to time up your strokes to Promontory.
Are you a stroke timer?
I mean, you that's the idea, right? You time it up to the BPM.
By the way, I try
to match my heart rate.
Speaking of Halloween songs, this is going to be the last episode we play Bustin' until next October. But we got to go out strong with this. Bustin' is a very late nominee for song, the Hall of Fame song. Rock Me Amadeus is probably going to be inducted into Lights, Camera, Pod / Barstool Hall of Fame, though.
Here's a fun fact. We talked about the Ultimate Showdown, the Flash animation that came out in the mid-2000s.
Yep.
Same guy who did Bustin' did that.
No fucking way. Wow. Really?
Yep.
That's insane.
He did like a TED Talk. I watched it. It's like Nick something. I wish we knew his name because we're using his work on our podcast.
I would love
week,
to do a TED Talk. Do you know how one gets signed up to do that?
Anyone can do that. Like, I feel like TED Talks from random people.
Dude, you guys are way overqualified to do a TED Talk now.
I would love to give a TED Talk on journalism.
That would actually be hilarious.
Uh-huh.
You could probably do that at almost any university and just call it a TED Talk.
Yeah, yeah. What's the procedure on that?
TEDx.
Yeah.
It's TEDx. You don't need to be qualified for anything to do a TEDx, I don't think. You just need to like impress some people. So you could probably just show up. You know what would be the ultimate flex if you did a TED Talk at Northwestern Medill?
Ooh, yeah.
As a journalist that hasn't lost my accreditation, here's what I can tell you.
Organize your first TEDx event. Bring the global TED experience to your community through a combination of live speakers and TED Talk videos. Apply for a license.
It's like a Tupperware party.
You guys should just do that there.
Yeah.
And just have an official TED event.
Do you have to do it at like the TED place?
Take Billy Football Symposium and then just call it a TED Talk.
You should do it at South By this year.
We should.
A South By TED Talk.
Facts about fire salamanders and all their natural predators.
Oh my God.
How to not post your boss's dick online.
Or phone number.
Yeah.
Yes.
Folks. You just give up a TED Talk. It's just folks jokes for 20 minutes. Folks.
All right, Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween. This was not on the schedule till recently. Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween, in theaters. While collecting junk one day, best friends Sonny and Sam meet Slappy, a mischievous talking dummy from an unpublished Goosebumps book by R.L. Stine. Hoping to start his own family, Slappy kidnaps Sonny's mother and brings all of his ghoulish friends back to life, just in time for Halloween. As the sleepy town becomes overrun with monsters, witches, and other mysterious creatures, Sonny joins forces with his sister, Sam, and a kindly neighbor to save Sonny's mom and foil Slappy's plan. Not many well-known actors, but Jack Black is in this movie as R.L. Stine. I don't think he was originally. I think we talked about that at one point.
Oh, and Ken Jeong.
Ken Jeong, that's right.
The one who was obsessed with his mom, that tried to bang his mom, Chris Parnell.
Oh, right. Forgot Chris Parnell. And Ken Jeong loves Goosebumps in this movie.
Yeah, he loves him some Goosebumps.
I actually didn't hate the original. It's in the 60s somewhere. I was okay with that movie. I really hated this movie. I gave it a 28 out of 100. I really did really dislike this movie. It was fine. It's very short. It's an hour and a half exact. Didn't love Goosebumps. Ken Jeong, what about you?
I thought it was pretty good. What did you end up rating it?
28.
28. Holy shit.
Audience gave it a 38.
All right. I gave it a 51. I thought it was reasonably enjoyable, and it was very quick. And I think if it was maybe 25 minutes longer, I would have given it like a 10. Because it was just so fast, and I don't think I've seen a movie that was less than 2 hours in like 10 years. And it was quick, to the point. Everything moved fast. The action was pretty decent, I would say. Special effects just sucked. They were not very good. The dialogue was whatever. I think it was the same kid from It, right?
Yeah, I was literally about to say, well, I'm glad you said it because I was about to ask if I'm being fattest because he was a little chubby kid. Let's see.
It was Ham. It was Ham Porter.
He was in it. Yeah. And he's Ben, right? So who is his elder in?
The sister?
He's played by, no, who's his elder character in It 2?
I don't know. Did you know that the kid from the Goonies, like the fat kid? He was so like encouraged by the director to get in shape after the movie that now he's like a fitness instructor or something. Like he's in great shape.
Jack Ryan.
Did you know that Mr. Rogers has tattoos on his forearms?
One for every kill.
He was a Marine sniper.
Jay.
You know the human head weighs 8 pounds.
Maybe yours.
Oh shit!
The guy playing is not in a lot of movies. Anyway,
not this head. Other one maybe.
I don't want to go off on a rant here, but Ham Porter. What's his actual name?
The guy we interviewed is
Patrick. Fuck.
Just for
Renna.
Patrick Renna.
We knew that.
Just for the good of mankind, he should have been just like frozen in time so he could always be a child actor. Yeah. He was like the perfect child comedic actor.
He would have played this role.
He is the platonic ideal of like a little chubby, freckled, funny kid.
Him and Macaulay Culkin. I think those two probably could have deserved it. I guess Macaulay's on the uprise.
No, let Macaulay's brothers grow up.
Macaulay's hot now.
Yeah,
true.
Kendrick, would you score it?
I like how we all just immediately agreed. Yeah,
he's
hot.
He's hot.
Yeah,
he's hot. He's looking hot. The Culkster.
The Culkster.
All right, so 51
when Macaulay Culkin has sex with your wife, is it called culking?
It has to be, right?
Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah. I just got culked.
PFT?
I got to be honest. I skimmed through this movie at the highest rate.
Classic
possible.
Screener, the only one of the few movies we've gotten as a screener.
Yeah, you know what? I'll give it 35. I'm not really into scary movies or Halloween movies in general. I don't understand why the human mind would want to be like intentionally afraid of anything.
Yeah,
because that's like the one thing that you're conditioned to avoid over your life and to stay alive and to pass on your genetics to your offspring is like, don't be scared of anything. I don't know why you would intentionally get scared of anything.
That's fair.
So I'm not a big fan of the genre, but listen, I'm not a pussy. I don't get scared. I swear to God.
You weren't scared of this movie?
No.
True fucking God, dude.
Scared.
If I was in that movie, I would have beat that gorilla's ass.
I had a friend that swears that I'm afraid of horror movies, and that's why I don't watch them. And it's not just like, I don't understand the appeal to me in general. I do like the nostalgia element.
Oh, yeah.
I like, you know what it makes me think of? Just rubbing my hand across the covers of the Goosebumps books.
It's exactly what Trish said, I think, right?
Caressing the hand.
That was like ASMR for just touch, as a touch equivalent.
I said the same thing last week, and nobody – it was silence. Nobody got the simple pleasure.
I never read All Stein. I didn't know the reference.
Did you
caressing
know?
The beveled yeah. cover of Monster Blood 2.
Now we're talking. Ugh. Say cheese and die. Mm.
Little movie and Halloween candy tie-in. Did you know – okay, here, quiz question. What is – trivia. What is the most popular candy for ASMR videos?
Most to Smarties? Open or to chew?
Not Smarties. To for noises and to chew. Like rattling.
Sweetest fish.
Nope.
Pop Rocks.
Nerds.
Whoppers.
That's fucking
Whoppers. Whoppers. The balls running around.
It should
around
be
the
Pop
box.
Rocks.
So,
oh, what, Pop Rocks and ASMR
general,
sound great.
Is ASMR just like relaxation sounds? Like whispering like this to get people relaxed?
I thought it was a sex thing.
I'm actually gonna splice in the ASMR for Whoppers right here, which is funny. We may get people onto ASMR after doing this.
And on the back of the box, it says 25% less fat.
Kinchak, are you saying it's a horny thing?
I thought it was a horny thing. I thought people like cranked off to it.
Could be a horny thing. I don't know. I mean, I feel like 96% of whatever's on YouTube is a horny thing.
Yeah, that is unfortunately accurate.
Yeah. Trebones, what do you think about Goosebumps?
Oh, man. What to say about this one? Ah. Got trick-or-treaters this year.
All right, he'll be back.
Living that domestic
he'll be,
life.
He'll be...
Yeah, what are you? Bullshit Buzz Lightyear.
All right, well, Ken Jack, start talking about the movie so we can,
look like,
we can power
look
through
like
this.
Any, Buzz Lightyear, any thoughts? Bitch.
I thought it was fast and not scary, and to that point, I enjoyed it.
I have it rated higher than Cloverfield Paradox.
I mean, that's I don't know if that's a good like that's like valedictorian summer school achievement.
I mean, Slappy's fun. It was entertaining enough for me to watch it. It was an hour and a half. It's not meant for us whatsoever. Acting, it's lame.
I like Jack Black's laugh in it.
Oh yeah. And then he dies in the end. Basically, he gets sucked into the book. Actually, he's not dead because I know.
Yeah, he comes back.
Yeah, he gets sucked into the book. Anything else? Anything about? Actually, yeah. Oh, sorry, Troll. We didn't get to you. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Slappy. I thought Slappy was a lit. Oh God, man. Oh.
Just.
It's weird. There's some loud. It's weird you could hear that.
Yeah.
Before you even opened up my door.
Yeah.
That's your Nest cam.
What's up, you little assholes? I'm trying to podcast. You ever heard of it? It's like the 24th most popular TV and film podcast on iTunes. Their algorithm's really messed up.
Yeah, good point.
I don't get personally mad about that.
Trill, ask him to leave a review.
Oh, hey, can I see your – is that like a kid's Fire 8 Alexa tablet? Can I borrow that real quick? All right. What the fuck? Your parents got you locked out of the podcast? You don't even listen to us? Get out of my fucking door, you real kid who's a real kid.
Ah, it's a shame.
It'd be real fucked up if you logged into their phone and they'd already given you like a really bad review.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
It's kind of weird how my front door sounds like a bedroom door, too. It's not a very thick door.
Not a heavy door. All right, well, we're out of time for you to really review this. Favorite Goosebump book, though? You have one?
Say Cheese and Die, The Goat.
Yeah, I figured you did reference that, so I figured it'd be your pick. Trill, do you have one?
Yeah, Call Her Daddy.
That's a good one, yeah. No, that's a really good one.
Yeah, I mean, I like Night of the Living Dummy, the OG. The horror at Camp Jelly Jam, though, really. The camp one's pretty good, and One Day at Horrorland kind of scared me about.
Ooh, I did like One Day at Horrorland. Yeah. How many in total did he end up writing, like, under the original run? They probably still run under...
It's got, I think it's like 60-something.
Like original Goosebumps?
Well, there's 231. Whoa. But...
How do you crap out 231 books of anything?
No, the original 62 books.
I want to leave a review of the Kindle Paperwhite I got, and I'm like, this is bullshit. I downloaded Goosebumps. It didn't have the beveled cover for me to feel like this is trash.
Yeah. Did you have any friends, you go over to their house and they're like, you know what? I've got something better than Goosebumps. Animorphs.
Oh, man. Animorph memes are some of the funniest there are.
They are funny memes.
Was Animorphs at the same time as Goosebumps? Were
Yeah.
I don't.
I think they were a little bit after. There were a couple.
I never
years
heard
after.
Of Animorphs until the memes.
Memes are the best, though. I don't think I've ever seen a Goosebumps meme.
I had an Animorphs toy.
Did you really?
Yeah. It was awful.
I was a pure Bionicles guy.
That. Did it? Was it like a Transformer?
Yeah, it's basically. Cluck, cluck. It was a bird in the middle of his chest, and it flipped. His head went into his chest, and the bird flipped out. Bionicles. Yeah, that's the noise it made.
Noises yeah.
made. All right, so that's Goosebumps. No second ad read. Here we go. The second annual Jay Leno Challenge. Seven headlines, best of seven. After the winner, we'll still read through all seven. Like, I'm not going to just cut it off if someone gets a sweep. PFT, you're the judge.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Trill, Kenjack.
Can I play the music?
Sure.
All right, ready? Ready?
Yes. Kenjack's going to be Kevin Eubanks, too, on the ukulele.
So, seven headlines from Screen Rant that we did not use for the podcast. Started out number one. You guys hear about this? You guys see this one? George R. Martin confirms Game of Thrones prequel is called The Long.
The Long
folks,
Night.
Long Night.
Folks, when asked about The Long, George R. R. Martin said, "It's filling, but I wish Penn Station had a bigger size."
Yeah, actually, the knight in question is played by Johnny Sins. His name was going to be Lord Winter, too, so they don't have to change the Winter is Coming slogan.
Oh.
Okay. I'm going to give this. Round one goes to Trill. Brevity is the soul of wit. Is that the phrase?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. It's funnier even when I say that phrase and then add on to it at the end. That really hammers the point home.
Okay. I would agree with you, though. It's not my call at all. Wait, did we get the slide?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Number two. You guys see this one? You guys hear about this? Dragon Ball. 20 weirdest details about Cell's anatomy.
Not sure about... Oh, go ahead, Kenjack. I went to lie. We'll just rotate who goes first. Yeah.
I never read that article, but I read one of the same name about the HBO show Oz.
That's good. That's pretty good.
Not sure about Cell, folks, but the weirdest part of Dragon Ball Z fan anatomy are their dicks that retract into their body.
Okay.
No.
I got to go with Kenjack for round two.
There we go.
That was good.
Kevin likes that one. Kevin
that was good. That it was short. It made me connect the dots on my own.
Yeah.
Which I really
like. I didn't get it. I definitely didn't get it at first. And then I was like,
that's all my jokes. Good. All my jokes, it takes 20 steps to get there a minimal payoff.
But that makes me feel smart that I get it.
The episode where Francis was high as hell
and
couldn't figure him out was incredible. He was like,
the Iran-Contra joke like blew his mind.
The next day, he's like, all right, I got a couple more now. But he was like, that was incredible. Okay, guys. How about this one? How about this? Iron Man's newest armor is his most ridiculous yet.
Folks, this armor, it's powered by Monster Energy drink, and it crashes itself into a Big Lots.
So his new suit is actually made up of the litigation filed against the NFL for allowing kneeling, saying it was unpatriotic. They're calling it the ironic suit.
Okay. What? Okay. I gotta go Trill on this one.
Okay.
That was good.
2-1 TB. Number game or headline four. Did I see this? How about Steven Spielberg? Steven Spielberg admits War of the Worlds ending doesn't make any sense.
So War of the World folks, I gotta look where my spot was. Hold on. So War of the World folks, look. We like to make fun of celebrities a lot, but it's pretty bold of Spielberg to come out and support the research saying a mainland invasion of Japan would have yielded less casualties.
Okay.
Folks, the only ending in War of the Worlds that doesn't make any sense is that fat Tom Cruise butt because it's dumb thick. Ending?
Yeah.
That's an ending?
Okay. I would have gotten there eventually. Don't patronize me, Troll. Let me work through the process on my own. I got to go. Yeah, Ken Jack gets this one.
Yeah, smart.
It actually just should have been somebody, the ending should have been somebody walking through the front door and be like, hey, fact check, it's fake. It's actually just somebody's reading on the radio, it's fake.
Number five, headline number five.
You guys see this one. How about this story? 20 behind-the-scenes photos that completely changed the show Friends.
Folks, it's one photo, and it's just the movie poster for Ed.
I might just seed mine. I was just going to say Ross was in Ice.
That's, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go Trill. I'll go Trill.
Okay.
These are all really strong.
Trill, the chance to win. The Grinch movie's billboards have incredibly mean messages. That's Ken Jack.
Oh, yeah, it's mine. Folks, I haven't actually seen any of these, but I've also been told by multiple women that I have trouble seeing signs that people are being repulsed by me.
That's good. Folks, I like that. It's just a big mirror that says, "This ain't it, Chief."
How many more do you have?
Only one more.
Okay, I'm going to – nobody wins that one.
Okay.
Got to do –
That's a push, yeah. Do better.
Headline 7. Boba Fett movie would have had other bounty hunters return. That's true.
Folks, the whole movie was canceled because Dog the Bounty Hunter was going to be in it, but refused to appear because they couldn't get the Oakley licensing rights.
That's good.
Folks, a lot of bounty hunters, more like a Bo Buffet of characters.
Oh, that's strong.
That would actually have been a great tagline for the movie itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Bo Buffet of Bits. Yeah. Got a buffet of bits.
Yeah,
here,
get
folks.
That on there. I'm going to give that one to Trill, too.
Okay.
Trill's sorry, the winner.
Ken. Trill gets a W.
Trill. Who won the first one?
Ken Jack did.
Ken Jack did.
Okay. I didn't even have jokes. Ken Jack wrote the. Ken Jack was amazing off the cuff.
No, now that I'm was just that one lucky one anime joke last time.
My
that
first
was
one
it.
Was too mean-spirited, but I yeah. don't think it was that bad.
I think if you had delivered the Ross was in Ice without just like – you
I
almost,
had a different one written.
You almost gave it up as you were saying it. You like you handed him the W. I think if you had delivered it with confidence, I would have been like, yeah, that actually makes sense.
His was so good that I audibled out of my written joke, which was very bad, and then I just –
let's hear the lost tapes.
Jay Leno – oh, okay, go ahead.
What did I actually write? Oh, I'm not even going to say it. Never mind. Not good for pod.
Yeah, now I'm worried. Was my first one too mean, or is
no.
it okay?
No,
that's
good.
George R.
Jay Leno's January 19, 2010 monologue. Ken Jack and I were reading it yesterday.
Oh, my God. It's so
bad. It's so bad. He's like, thank you for coming out on such a cold, rainy day. To me, this is the perfect infomercial kind of day. You dry off with a ShamWow, wrap yourself in a Snuggie with your wife, and see if those Extends pills really work. It was
they
so
don't.
Wet. It was so wet. Gilbert Arenas pulled a water pistol on his teammates. That's
wet.
And he literally says, "That's how wet. That's how wet." He just explained it. He goes, "It was so wet for the first time ever. Senator John Edwards put on rubbers. That's the first time that's ever
Jesus
happened."
Christ.
It's so bad.
Yikes.
I went to a late David Letterman taping, and I was very excited to go to because I loved Letterman growing up and used to stay up and watch him all the time. And whatever day it was that I was going, I think it was one of the days where just like the entire crew and cast and staff all hated each other because I don't think he actually wrote his monologue beforehand. There was one joke that I remember in particular, and you tell me if this even counts as a joke, okay? He goes, a new study came out and said that, couples that listen to hip-hop while they're making love have a better sex life. So me and the missus are going to start turning on some rap. And then they played like the joke music. That was it.
Really
that was the entire thing.
Yeah. Doing like a Jimmy Fallon laugh.
Yeah. It was painful. It was painful to watch.
That is pretty bad. It's just him saying, I have sex.
And that, yeah, I have sex with my wife, and it's so unbelievable that our sex life would be good or listen to anything besides like Pat Boone singing Wop Baba Loo Bop Wop Bam Boom. And then the guests on that show, it was. Let's see. It was Artie Lang. He was like a fill-in guest at the last second. And then Busta Rhymes. So it was two segments of Artie Lang talking about a movie that he filmed 10 years ago. And then Busta Rhymes singing a song that he sang like 12 years ago. It was just it's an eye-opening experience.
My favorite late-night thing I've seen is Joaquin Phoenix, who routinely fucks with people and makes up stories. He was on Kimmel, and he looks at Kimmel, interrupts me, goes, I have this couch. He's like, this couch I'm sitting on, I have this couch. He goes, this pulls out to a bed. And Kimmel's like, it does not. He's like, it's a prop couch. And sure enough, Joaquin got up and pulled out the bed, and they just laid in the bed. He goes, I told you, it's a pull-out bed. And he was like, him fucking with him, but it really was his couch.
That's awesome.
Crazy. I love Joaquin Phoenix. Here we go. Top 5 movie characters with football player names. That's as short as I could get it. So here's what we do. We're going to do this like the NBC Sunday Night Football intros where the person says, so for example, Ethan Hunt, quarterback, Tennessee. So you're going to read it like that. First you say what movie it's from, then you read off the name. Five players, then their position, then the college that they attended. We'll start it off with Trill. Number five.
From Better Off Dead, Lane Meyer, quarterback, Texas.
That's a good one. Mm. Lane Meyer. Lane. Lane is a good, that's yeah. a Texas yeah. name. Okay. UT, I like that. Ken Jack.
Mad Max Radachansky, linebacker, SMU.
Wow.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Radachansky, linebacker. That is, I like SMU. It's a good pick. Number five for me, from Fast and the Furious, Roman Pierce, linebacker, USC.
Also a porn star.
That's good, yeah. yeah. That's, Roman yeah. Pierce, I could mm-hmm. see that.
Yep. PFT.
Number five, from Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter, defensive tackle, Clemson.
Yep, that's pretty good. Mm, yep.
That's a Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
That is. By the way, this was inspired by Trill telling us to tweet out during the PGA or U.S. Open or something, name an actor who sounds like a professional golfer. Yes, we did that for a while.
Long.
Yeah, yep. Justin Long. That's a really, really good one. I'd say Gerard Butler, too.
Gordon Gekko.
Audience had a very good list. Is it okay? I forget how to pronounce this name. I forget if it's Coburn or Cogburn, Rooster Cogburn, Coburn.
Yeah, Rooster Cogburn.
Yeah, okay. I think that's right.
Here we go. From the movie Rooster Cogburn, Rooster Cogburn, offensive line, Alabama. That's super Alabama. He is protected name, yeah. Tua mm-hmm. for sure. Trill, number four.
Number four from Con Air, wide receiver out of Miami, Cameron Poe.
Yep, that's a good one. That was like number six Damn. Or seven. I like the Miami of Ohio or Miami, Florida?
Miami of Ohio.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
It was Miami of Florida, but Miami of Ohio sounds like Cameron Poe's a good Mac name, right?
Yeah.
They're Mac.
Yeah,
that's good. Ken Jack.
Jules Winfield, defensive end, Alabama.
Oh, that is good. Defensive end, Alabama. Okay. I like that. I tried to change mine up, make sure I cover all the bases with conferences.
That's good. That's smart.
Jules.
Yeah, I moved mine like by position around, too. I didn't want to double.
Yeah, you didn't go all fullbacks?
Nope.
So, that's PM. You got to keep that for PMP.
I could have, yeah. There were two. I mean, there are a lot of fullback names that can be used out there.
Yeah. My number five, this is like listening to Trill play Fortnite. This
yeah.
Am I crunching?
Yes. No, keep it on.
It's fine. You've never done it on the pod, and we've talked about it.
No, what I was doing, by the way, is so we're on two different streams. We're on Skype, where my voice is coming through, and we're on a Google Hangout, where my video is coming through, and I'm muting the video stream.
So they may not hear that. I'm only laughing because you've never done that on pod, and we've talked about it, so I feel like people are going to like this. So
They might. Ooh, my throat feels so cold and good.
Number four, Reagan Thompson, quarterback, Auburn.
Okay. Yeah. Reagan.
Like that.
Yep. Uh-huh. That's a super, very mediocre QB who feeds off a good defense.
Yeah. How much money did Reagan's dad request to play at Auburn?
Probably a lot. Mm-hmm. Probably a lot. Yeah. Shout out to Birdman. PFT, number four.
At running back, Buzz Lightyear, BYU.
Yeah. I love that pick.
Oh, man, that's great. That sounds
25-year-old NFL rookie.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Just came back from his mission. Yeah.
Yeah, he was circumcising kids in Kuala Lumpur. Yeah.
Okay, here
He's got, like, hair that you can't tell if it's blonde or if it's brown, depending on which way the light hits it.
Yep.
Audience from Anchorman, Brick Tamlin, linebacker, Iowa.
Pretty good.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
I think it's too on the nose.
It is very on the nose. It is. But they have a good list. I do like their list. Trill, number three.
At number three, punter out of Michigan, Egon Spangler.
Yeah.
That's a good pick.
Punter. He looks like a punter, too. Bonus points for that.
The number six for the audience was John R. Seven was John Arbuckle. And I listed as kicker out of Wake Forest.
I like that. Yeah. That's a great kicker name, actually.
I may make that number five for them because it'll be great on the list. All right. My number three for Mission Impossible.
Wait, I thought I was going from Shul to me.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Number three. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So nose tackle out of the University of Miami, Warren Sapp.
Okay.
He was in some movies.
That works. Sounds like it could work. Yeah.
Yep, that works. Another Miami, just not from Ohio. Number three for me for Mission Impossible Fallout, August Walker, tight end, Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
Delanie Walker, is that where you got that from?
Actually, no, I did not. August just sounds like a tight end from the Big Ten. Yeah. And the mustache. That's a killer stash.
It is a great stash.
What was his actual, what was it again? Or his code name? Impossible?
In Mission Impossible. It was August Walker.
But what was his other?
He was like the guy, like the shit.
We'll just say Cogman.
I don't think anyone got my Warren Sapp sex tape joke. I just want to note that now.
Oh, that's what you meant?
Yeah, because he was in sex tapes where he hired prostitutes.
PFT number three.
Okay, number three, at fullback, out of Akron, Tommy Callahan.
Yep.
Yes, that's
Callahan Auto Parts. That's what it was, right?
Yep,
Tommy Boy. Okay.
Callahan Auto Parts University. No, wait, where did he go to school again?
He's from Sandusky, Ohio. Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Let me redo this.
Yeah, Sandusky.
Marquette.
Yep, that's right.
Callahan, fullback.
Right. Right. He played rugby, right?
He was a rugby player at Marquette.
Any NFL players from Marquette?
Ooh, I don't know if they even have a football
team. I don't think they have a football team.
I've
seen the campus, and it's very windy. That's all I know.
All right, number three from Fast and the Furious. Audience, Tej Parker, wide receiver, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I like Tej. Tej Parker sounds like I got AJ. I had to pick the schools because obviously the audience not going to agree. That'd be wild if they agreed on schools and positions. But sounded like AJ Green vibes on that one. Trill number two.
Number two, Charlie Bucket, quarterback, Purdue.
There's no chance he would ever make the NFL.
That is very cool. That is right behind Buzz Lightyear from here now. That is very good. Charlie Bucket.
What a pick.
My name's Charlie Bucket. I didn't get recruited to any of the schools in my state, but I'm happy right here at Purdue.
Boiler up,
hammer down.
Number two, Ken Jack.
My number two quarterback out of Notre Dame, Tony Montana.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Love it.
That's spot on.
I mean, that is very on the nose.
I was going to say, I just yelled at them for being on the nose with Brick, but this is very on the nose.
I like how you changed the pronunciation to fit the joke.
Yep.
Yes. Number two for me, from National Treasure, and I'm changing the pronunciation a little bit. It's going to be a hyphen. Ben Franklin Gates, wide receiver, James Madison. Okay. This sounds like a guy who was drafted in like the fifth or sixth round, and they hyped him up big time, and you're like, yo, this is the steal in my fantasy draft. This guy's, and then he has like eight catches all year.
Yeah. He's a guy that's like, he's got a big frame, and they're like, he's got an NFL frame. I know he played at a small school,
yeah,
but he's got the body, and then he just gets to the NFL and gets fat.
He just stinks. Just not good.
He gets replaced by some guy who played basketball for 4 years of college.
Yeah. Yes. Like the Browns have this guy, Seth DeValve from Princeton. Uh-huh. He just nothing. He's done nothing. But they're like, yo, this guy's huge. Big target. Okay, PFT number two.
Okay, tight end out of the University of Alabama, Birmingham, Marcellus Wallace.
Yeah, that's two Pulp Fiction picks.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
And a good pick with the UAB.
Mm-hmm.
Little, you can't always go Alabama.
Marcellus Wallace is definitely a Southern guy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. All right, number one. There could be a crossover at number one. It's the only one where I feel like there could be, but we'll see. Trill, what's your number one?
Number one, from Face Off, Caster Troy, strong safety, USC.
Damn, that's an awesome safety name. I love that.
That's very good.
And you get the Troy last name going with USC.
That is huge.
Fuck, that's so good.
That's a guy who on a signing day... His signing day, he like does a Troy type thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God, maybe he's got long hair too, like long curly hair like Troy Polamalu.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Ken Jack, number one.
Quarterback out of Kentucky, Snake Plissken.
Ooh, that's good.
Okay, yeah.
He would be like Jared Lorenzen in that he'd wear like 28 as his jersey number.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just be insanely overweight.
Snake's definitely a guy that they brought in. They're like, okay, this guy can run too.
Yeah.
And so he's like supposed to be a hybrid like scrambler slash passer, but he sucks at passing, so they just have him run and he averages like 2.5 yards per carry
for
the whole season.
Oh my God!
How much does it throw you off when you watch Taysom Hill and he's wearing number 7 and he's doing things that are besides being quarterback sometimes?
Yeah, I don't like NFL. It.
Well, he's never like a huge quarterback, right? Like he was never a big passer.
No, but he like returns kicks and stuff. Every
yeah,
now
that
and
is
he's wearing, he's wearing number 7. It's just yeah.
I don't like it when defensive linemen in college wear like number 2.
Yeah.
It doesn't do it. Give me a 98. Give me a 96.
You got to have a double digits at least.
Yeah.
Okay, my number one from A Star Is Born, Jackson Maine, quarterback, Oklahoma. He's gonna put up 50 touchdowns, 6 picks, win the Heisman, and then fizzle out in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me something, girl.
Who's that Oklahoma quarterback? White?
Jason White
that just disappeared.
Josh Heupel?
Oh, yeah, Heupel. Yeah. That was back in the era of who was the dentist that went to LSU?
There
was
Matt Mauck.
Matty Mauck, yeah.
Matty Mauck.
He sounds like he should be in a movie.
There was an old Ohio State and Nebraska. So Eric Crouch won the Heisman, but Craig Bellisari, crap, I forget what his name is. He was the quarterback at Ohio State. They both they switched to safety in the NFL, and they fizzled out. There was a run where Heisman like winners didn't like they weren't bust because they just weren't going to be good in the NFL at all. Like, there was no expectation for them.
I mean, White didn't even make it onto like a training camp, did he?
Jason, I'm sure.
Because he had like, 7 ACL tears?
Did he play once?
He got drafted. No, I was thinking of the guy from Nebraska.
Is that the guy?
Crouch retired after like one practice.
Do you guys remember Charlie Ward? Won the Heisman and just played basketball?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. And he had a really like... It was the smartest decision he could have made because he had like a 10-year, 11-year NBA career just cashing checks.
Yeah.
It was Steve Bellisari, by the way. Wait, Jason White, NFL. I swear he was in the Dolphins and played a game. I might be dead wrong. NFL career. He was drafted Titans, Chiefs. No, I didn't play for
the
Dolphins.
What was like the last Heisman that was actually a bust?
Heisman, let's see. Heisman Trophy last.
RG3.
I mean, Jameis. RG3.
It's true, yeah.
Well, but at least
he had his moment, though.
Yeah, see, I have a hard time calling RG3 a bust because it was the injuries
injury.
That killed
He's
him.
Not a bust. I still have Troy a soft Smith. Spot in my heart, just like he has a soft spot.
Yeah, but
in
Troy Smith wasn't
Shanahan misused him.
Mm. Yeah, Troy Smith played a fair amount, but wasn't supposed to be good. Mm. I mean, I guess you could say Tebow. Tebow's first round pick.
He had that. Yeah, that was like one of the most thrilling overtime wins in history.
It's funny. There's such a sliding scale for Tim Tebow because he was a first round pick, but he was a consensus like fifth round pick.
Yeah.
So nobody holds it against him that he was like wildly overdrafted.
I don't want to hurt. I don't want to slander anyone that has a podcast here, but there is somebody who doesn't play in the NFL anymore. Okay.
You won't say that.
Probably white.
Mark Ingram was. I feel like Mark Ingram was on track to be a bust.
He's good now.
Yeah, he's fucking great.
Yeah, when he's using steroids.
Yeah. all right, PFT number one.
All right, cornerback Andy Dufresne, LSU.
Yeah, that's good.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, it's a perfect LSU name.
Uh-huh.
Honey Badger too.
Yeah.
What was the vampire's names in Interview with Vampire? One of them had a really French name, but I don't remember it.
Yes,
that'd be good too.
D'Artagnan.
Yeah.
D'Artagnan.
I actually forgot the audience.
Lestat.
Yeah, let's start.
That is pretty good. I forgot the audiences, too. Number two from Tropic Thunder, Tug Speedman, running back, Kent State.
That's great. That's a great pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then number one, this was overwhelming number one, from Shooter, Bob Lee Swagger, quarterback, Texas Tech.
Mm.
Bob Lee Swagger and Jackson Maine are going to have showdowns in the Big 12.
Yeah, they're going to put up 90 points each.
That was fun. This is going to be a fun one to tweet out.
I like that one. Did you have any honorable mentions? I had two I didn't get to say.
Yeah, I have two.
I'd like to get out there.
Okay, yeah, throw them out there.
At quarterback, Luca Brasi, University of Miami. He seems like a backup at University of Miami, right?
Good.
It's like the first Italian quarterback since like Testaverde.
Yeah.
Marcellus Wallace is on here, Floyd Lawton, Danny Grisky, Steve Rogers had a bunch. Doc Holliday, obviously John Arbuckle. Somebody
like
voted Kangaroo Jack. shout out. Some people put fucking football players. Come on.
Yeah.
Like Bobby Boucher, obviously. But yeah, there was the first vote was Denzel Washington. I was like, I don't think you understand.
That would be a cool name, though.
He transcends the roles that he plays.
What was John David Washington's name in Ballers? His character's name? Because he had a cool wide receiver name, too.
I think
for fake dolphins, whatever they were named.
I think somebody this is a good one. They put the actor again. They put John Krasinski, fullback.
Krasinski. That's a great fullback name, though. Yeah. Damn. We should do that as a separate poll. I have, like, actor names that could be football players.
Yeah, we can do that
Dwayne
again.
Johnson.
That was fun. I like that.
Oh, Ricky Jarrett. I think for my honorable mentions, John Matrix from Commando. I would love John Matrix in some position. I couldn't figure out where to put him, so I didn't rank him. Also, Dr. Evil. I mean, imagine you just lining up against someone named Dr. Evil.
Doc Evil.
Yeah.
I think next time what we'll do is we will have Mo Green. Gotha. That's pretty good. We will have people put the name, position, and then we'll pick like the best ones. Mm-hmm. We'll reward like individual.
Yeah. What about kicker, University of Illinois, Garth Algar?
That's good. That's good. He was a 5-star along with John Arbuckle. John Arbuckle is the Mike Nugent of Wake Forest, basically. So that was fun. Also, crap. What was the last thing I was going to say?
Smog. Tight end, Miami.
Shit, I had one more thing. I forgot though.
Rate, subscribe, unsubscribe, rate.
Do all those things. Stacker Pentecost.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, that would have been a great one.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Oh man.
Damn.
What the fuck was my last thing? I guess I forgot it. Anything else before we go?
It was a solid episode. Yeah the movies were weak this week, but we just got through a tear of pretty good movies.
We're reviewing Bohemian Rhapsody next week. We'll have to think of I love the movie ranking pods. Or when we music, so we'll have to find. We've done a lot of music ones. So we got to find what we haven't done yet. But I do like when we get to splice in the music. Expectations very low. By the way, Ken Jack, your Red Bull might fall off the table.
It's empty.
Just, okay. Oh, okay, whatever.
Cypher Rage After Earth.
Oh, that is pretty good.
That would have been a good one, too. I'm sorry, I just found a list on these.
Yeah. Wait. I remembered what it was. Do we want to tell the story about Trill? About somebody found Trill?
Oh, that was pretty funny. That's up to you, Trill.
Wait, it was the guy that said I was the like a lecturing professor at his university or something.
Not
like
even
that.
A law school student.
Oh yeah, I'm not. I took the LSAT. If you listen to the podcast, you'll know that my LSAT was not high enough to get into the law school you're talking about. Also, I'm like 10 years removed from that.
Yeah, somebody thought they found Trill at a law school.
Do you want to read the message?
Which is we won't.
I don't want to put him on blast because he seems like a nice dude.
Yeah, and it was Yeah.
The reason I want to talk about it is because he says it's a voice doppelganger, and I actually get that a lot because I've been told I have a really monotone, generic voice.
It was it's pretty funny, especially. But like the one thing that made me laugh the most was that Trill obviously on this podcast has a day job and a wife and kids and is not currently going to law school. Like I feel like that'd be an easy one to pull from that. But I respected the effort.
You thought I was like a TA or something.
If you hear somebody, it sounds like somebody, aren't you like, what if he's just pulling the wool over our eyes and has a cover story and really is a law student?
That's true.
So I don't hate it. I don't hate that our listeners' audience's mind is turning. But at the same time, it's just like, I'm not even as interesting as a damn law student, dude.
The name was so funny, too. I don't want to say the name.
The name was funny.
But they had the name of the professor, and it was very funny.
That's like
funny.
Trill's wildest fantasy is to be a law professor.
Yeah. Yeah,
I want to be a law school student who gets in an argument with his law professor about the Constitution.
Well,
that's extremely my shit.
If you go to Rep Sanford's house, you can get a pocket Constitution.
Yeah,
nail that.
Sure, we'll be like Marine Todd, essentially of law professors.
So happy Halloween. Anything else before we go?
No,
have a safe Halloween, even though this is coming out after it's over.
Yeah, hope you didn't eat any
razor blades.
Yeah, razor blades or any like hard candy laced with expensive drugs. I never got that. Why would a drug dealer put expensive drugs?
Why would you waste your drugs on that?
That's stupid.
Maybe like creating more users? Yeah. I don't really get it.
Yeah, Trill, what about you? Hey, anything else?
No, but I just said, you know, thanks to PFT for coming on. I know he's trying to get his podcast a little more exposure. Coming on our show. Yeah, if you could plug your podcast. I know like we have a lot of listeners who haven't heard of it yet, but just kind of tell them what it's about and where they can find it.
Yeah, so we like look at dating from a girl's perspective, and like we talk about all the different athletes that we've, you know, had liaisons with. And, it's really informative. I think we talk about it in a fun way that you guys can all relate to. So check me out on Insta.
Cool. Anything else, Trill?
Have a good week at the box office. Oh.
All right. Let me wrap this up so you can go. For Ken Jack, PFT, Trill, I'm Jeff Lowe. Bohemian Rhapsody, we will talk to you on Sunday.
Go see it.
Do I have to say it again?
Yes.
Well, have a good week at the box office. Boston makes me feel good. Feel good.